Welcome, everyone, to another episode of Radio Sentai Cast Ranger.
I'm back, bitches!
And you've brought someone up from the slush of the depths who was kind of already here last week anyway.
Okay, so quickly, since I wasn't here last week...
Sure, cut off Sil's intro, you fuckface.
My quick opinions. So, episode 38, Tokuger, it was cute and fun. I really liked it. The Sharivan movie, I actually really enjoyed. I thought it was... awesome.
You would.
No, it was... I thought it was really good. And fuck you, Kevin. Esteban looks fucking awesome.
Like I said, I enjoyed Blue Buster being the villain.
No, it does not.
But all I'll say is, I did not expect Sharivan to actually inject himself with the Hyper M.
Yeah, there goes whatever morals this movie was supposed to be.
Well, you are entitled to your opinions. You're also
wrong.
Well,
you know what? In all respect, the original Sharivan did say to him, you know, be more...
Go do drugs!
That doesn't mean
go
taking fucking space drugs!
He was being unpredictable.
This was a complex adaptation.
Yes, that was not predictable.
This was a complex adaptation of the Doom movie.
Anyways, it was a very...
Oh, fuck, it was!
Anyways, yeah! Long story short, it was a very awesome movie. I loved it. I can't wait for Scheider. It's gonna be cool.
Yeah. A.K.A. Kamen Rider Birth in Space.
And Sharivan's assistant was kawaii as fuck, and Ichi, I want a gif of her rubbing her butt after she got... manhandled by what's-her-face.
Send me an email, I'll get it done.
Alright, cool. I don't know.
Moving on from that nonsense, cue the roll call!
We're live! Watching all the anime! Red Caster, Joe Raven!
Equipment Wielder! Blue Caster, Ishida Zazeel!
Respecting the source material! Green Caster, Zenshi!
Actually White! Black Caster, Ransack!
Trauma Inducer, Northcaster, Selsabi.
Broadcasting loud and opinionated perspectives across the internet.
Radio Sentai Cast Ranger.
On air!
Welcome to episode 36 of Radio Sentai Cast Ranger proper.
Fuck yeah!
So today we're going to be talking about Drive episode 9, Tokuger episode 39.
And the only reason but... this is the one I've been building up to myself.
Good to know you don't love us.
I love you all equally.
Guyver!
But I love Guyver more.
Guyver!
I love you all equally. Not very much.
The Guyver movie.
Oh, the first Guyver movie. There's two.
There are multiples of that.
I actually watched the second one.
Apparently
today.
That did well enough in theaters that got a sequel.
I don't know how. I just finished watching it.
Hey. Man, the sequel is actually fantastic.
It's fucking better.
I watched the sequel. It was great.
Yeah.
But we will get to that later.
Yeah.
I just want to say...
future episode, now you're going to have to deal with the shit one!
Time and place.
Just want to say I'm glad I came back from fighting the time-traveling aliens for this one.
Oh, that's the excuse again.
Yeah.
Hey, it's not an excuse. It's real.
Oh my God. Last time you are not Doctor Who.
It makes sense. It makes sense. Metrolinx are Zoonoids.
It all makes sense now.
Go Rail.
No, the Go Rail is the Shadow Line.
We find a Metrolinx sign, and then it just like it unhinges. Kronos sign under it.
No, like I was saying, the Go Rail is the Shadow Line.
Yes, there you go.
Y'all kids go outside. All we need is this wave.
Okay, so we're on Drive Episode 9, which is the debut of. I'm gonna say it just for the sake of, you know, because this is
being correct.
Being correct. The debut of Drive type Technic, even though I'm gonna just call it Technique because it's easier to say.
Yes.
Which I disagree with.
Yeah, there's more vowels and syllables.
Yeah, so
I've been saying Technique long enough.
Also, Technic kind of makes a little more sense in the car.
Technically.
You guys remember those, like, Bionicle knockoffs, Technic?
Yeah.
No. Looks like that.
Yeah.
Actually, looks like
it
that.
It actually does!
But yeah, so just to be clear on that, the form that everyone was calling Type Technique, even though it is pronounced Technique because they're Japanese, it is actually spelled Technic.
I'll probably eventually start calling it Technic.
Which
so.
You see on the tire.
I hate it.
I love it.
The it's tire.
Stupid.
It's the coolest thing to come out of Drive so
stupid.
Far.
I don't like the head.
I love it.
It's so dumb.
Here's what I love.
It looks fucking dumb.
If I can't think of anything
so
else,
stupid.
I disagree.
Let's
completely.
Put up hands for looks good.
Why hands? Run around.
I'll say how many there are. Hands for good. Two. Hands for shit. 4. You lose.
You
good day,
democracy!
Sir.
Democracy.
You fuck faces.
Democracy.
More like a mockracy.
I don't like it. No. No. It looks like a Chinese knockoff of a Power Rangers toy.
Just because it's based off of a front-loading garbage truck.
It should have been dark green, not puke green.
Yeah. That's not fair. Denno did well.
Denno's stupid and terrible.
And it did well.
I don't care. It's still stupid and terrible.
He's got fucking cords down his arms. You know, he's got Kuwagata horns on his head.
Stupid and terrible.
If I can think of one, he has Philip powers.
Stupid and terrible.
I dig the tire this way.
Yeah.
Why?
At first I was like, why? But I got used to it.
Because a nice change of pace.
It looks like a 19th or 18th century rough.
That's what I thought.
It looks like, oh my god, you're so pretentious and you're from the Renaissance.
And by the way, guys.
Oh, and wearing a tire diagonally across you like a seatbelt isn't prepared.
Like a sash.
That's stupid.
It looks alright. It looks better
too.
Than across
the tires
deck.
Are stupid. And guys, we have to be careful. If we keep going on like this, Paul is going to actually transform into Iago.
Yes! Mm-hmm. I'm gonna turn into Gilbert Gottfried!
No, not Gilbert Gottfried.
A little technique!
A little red bird, and I'll put you on my shoulder, and I will love you, and I will care for you to the end of my
life. This tokusatsu is terrible!
Other than Technic, the highlight of the episode for me, honestly, was the Boltroy Mute, who has kind of a Doc Brown, Baxter Stockman thing going on.
Oh yeah, maximum creepy OG son.
Jesus Christ, I didn't know Doc Brown had a half-Japanese brother.
I know, right?
Or to be more relevant, I didn't know Rick Sanchez had a half-Japanese brother.
I'm so sorry that you saw me talking to monsters, Marty.
Hey, Morty, you know, I had a brother in Japan.
No, but I loved how this guy looked in human form. I loved how Bolt looked as a monster.
I think it's supposed to be Volt.
No, it's
Bolt. TV Nihon pronounced it.
Oh, well,
subbed it Bolt.
Acer subbed it, or whoever's subbing it.
Well, regardless, this is my favorite Roy Muto form so far. He looks fucking awesome. I'm sad.
I still like Crush.
Honestly sad that he was a one episode thing.
No, but the best part of Bolt is the fact that after Technic does his Hisats, he gets up and he's like, ha ha, I can't die.
Yeah, it was like, ha, you can never defeat. Oh, there go my organs.
But he was really cool because like he befriended this little like kid who apparently like built him a robot or something and repaired it for him whenever it broke. And apparently the kid like overheard his conversation and literally just was walking away. And he was just right there in front of him. And he's just like,
creepy white angle shot.
Hey, Tariko, how you doing, buddy? Oh, so you're the one who started this one. Oh, you saw me talking to the monster. Oh,
what a shame.
I liked you too. You were a smart kid. I gotta do something with you.
I gotta eat you, buddy.
I was like, I love the villain, like the monsters in the show because they're actual criminals. Like they do bad shit.
Yeah,
and
awesome.
They act like criminals. This guy looks like a fucking child molester.
It's not like in Double. Double where some guy bought a Gaia member and he's like, I hate my boss. Brr, turn into monster, wreck everything.
Yeah.
No, these people are fucking criminals.
They're
criminal
horrible fucking people.
Actually, Lane, I agree with you. I was really hoping that this guy was going to be like a side villain, like, you know,
like another general.
Or, yeah, like a general, if you could say, because he was interesting.
And
he
apparently
was
super powerful because even Chaser was like, wow, he defeated Bolt. What the fuck?
But the thing is, apparently that electric thing that Bolt was working on is going to serve some plot relevance of some sort later.
Because the data from it got stolen and given to Hart.
I love how the monster that got away with that during the battle just got hucked over the cars and just forgotten about.
You know what? I actually felt sorry for him because he brought the information and Hart's just like, you did good, kid. You did good. And he's just like, and just dies.
You know, it's like an uncomfortable piece of metal.
He was like, you can rest now.
That's why. Like, in Ragnarok, Hart was just like, you did good. You did good, buddy.
Another thing,
that uncomfortable piece of metal up your ass for 5 years.
Another interesting bit of trivia is they revealed two more shift cars, which we saw used that episode, Fire Braver and Rolling Gravity. Mm-hmm. Apparently, Rolling Gravity makes these magic roads that all the shift cars use.
Also, Rolling Gravity should be more of a fucking Type Wild attire. See, this pissed me off. Like, Massive Monster should be Type Wild. Fucking Rolling Gravity, Type Wild.
You know what? I'm sorry, we gave Type Technique the one thing it can't actually lift properly.
Why is this not a power
for him?
He had to go all Forza to do it and just...
Can I answer that?
It's not a hitting weapon, it's a throwing weapon. It exploded and created a gravity field.
Yeah.
It's a bomb.
It's utility.
Yeah, it takes some strength to throw it, but the point is throwing it.
Oh, so quickly, Paul and I, we found this super hilarious, but, like, I find this really stupid for, like, why would a man design his belt system that you need to be in a certain state of mind to use certain powers with? So, like, Shinosuke, he's trying to use the fucking technique, and, like, a belt son's just like, oh, you have to be a cool state of mind to use it. And he's like, oh, okay.
Immediately goes...
It's not working!
Immediately
regresses
mid-puberty.
Cool.
Can I just make this one comment? Can I just say that I found it incredibly hilarious that in order to enter into a cool state, he's fighting a nerd?
Yeah.
He's beating up on a nerd in order to get the cool mentality.
I'm gonna give you cool justice!
And then he gains nerd powers.
Do you think there's some behind-the-scenes prejudice going on here?
Oh, they hate nerds. They're freaking, like, you know, intolerant bastards. Like, let's get freaking people on them and get picketing.
My answer to that is, it can't be much worse than a transformation device that won't let you transform because it hates you.
That's the... you know what I was hoping for in this episode, though?
Yeah.
I was hoping, like, they would play more up with the how to be cool thing in the sense of being like, EA, you gotta be cool.
Well,
and we could have named this How Tamari Got His Groove Back.
Well, he was apparently reading a How to Be a Cool Guy.
That's what
book.
I mean. I was hoping for more of that. Like, he comes in, like, all dressed, like, swanky, like, what's up, guys?
He said he was trying to be swag and ended up forgetting his stupid-looking gadget on the desk.
Meanwhile, he's in the police station acting all cool, and I'm just like, he's not cool. He's just baked off his ass.
All right, let's go do this. Tamari, you forgot the fucking detector. Oh, yeah.
Only supporting my baked off his ass
theory.
I'm cool. I'm totally cool, you guys. I ripped, like, 5 bowls before getting here.
Also, fucking the chief again, just, like, creep factor, but still funny. Just the way he's like, go!
Creep factors are still within tolerable levels, Captain.
The fucking tungsten.
I wonder if there's a horoscope that'll help me make my useless personnel useful.
Another thing that I noticed, and I can't... Someone answered this for me, but I wanted to bring it up on the show. Mm. During the part where Tamari and Kiriko chase down the two dudes, who turn out to be Roy Mutes, he's got one of them in a neck hold, and he's like, if you're able to move through the density shift, you must be working with Kamen Rider. And my immediate thought on that was, wasn't density shift a term that Rina came up with? Why did we even bother calling it slowdown at all?
I don't know. I like slowdown. That's what the term I still use.
Wasn't it you who came up with the answer for that, Raven?
I'm not sure if it was an answer, more like a just, oh, it's just legit term.
It's a coincidence that the Roy Mutes and Rina call it the same thing.
Apparently that's just the legit terminology, and slowdown is just
colloquial.
It's random sleek street slang.
Yeah, that's what I figured.
Also, I'm really loving how Kiriko is, like, slowly opening up and just being more herself now. Like, she's actually, like, kind of laughing and smiling.
Yeah, because we saw her in civilian clothes.
Because, like, me and Paul both agree, Kiriko's a badass cop.
She's
like,
fuck yeah.
Right? She's there fighting with Tamari?
This
God
episode,
damn.
She fucking leapt over hurdles and fucking wrestled a dude to the ground.
She's good at this whole enforcing the lift.
I hope she becomes a rider at some point.
You know what? I was saying that to Paul today. We need to, in the Drive movie,
Mock.
She needs to be her own rider.
No, apparently Mock is Kiriko's brother.
You know who she reminds me of?
Yeah.
Risa Hawkeye from Full Metal Alchemist.
Absolutely,
yeah.
Me and Lane were discussing a joke that the fact that if she ever got a rider system, her shit would be chick cars, so one's based on a Mazda Miata. One's a Nissan Rogue.
Of course it's a Miata.
One's a Canyonero.
Yeah, the female Canyonero.
Is one of them a Prius?
Yes.
Fuck yes.
Yes. In my fictional rider system for this girl, yes, one of them is a Prius.
Kamen Rider F-Series.
Oh, God.
She's not a Jag.
No, I was referring to the Simpsons episode where Homer had bought that vehicle, but it was the F-Series, so it was meant for women.
Yeah. Also, quickly, to note the kid, Terahiko, I like him.
He's cool.
I actually hope that he comes back more, because, like, he's a smart kid, and he found out that Shinosuke is the comrade because he henshin in front of him.
I'm like, that's the only way people can fucking make heads or tails,
like,
is if he henshins directly in front of them.
But yeah, but the end of the episode, like, he goes over and he's like, oh, here's these detectives, and the Kamen Rider helped me, and I was like, Hey, that he didn't give it away. Smart kid, I like him.
The kid knows how to play ball. And they respond by giving him a fucking drive
the
emblem.
First honorary member of the drive club.
Can I say this right now?
I came up with that.
This is written by the motherfucker who wrote Kamen Rider Black, right?
Yep. Yeah.
Okay, Kamen Rider Black...
Directed.
Kamen Rider Black had a group of super duper genetically modified children.
The kids?
Yeah, who helped him out with his shit.
Oh god, the drive club.
I really kind of want them to, like, help him and shit. Like, I kind of want him to have a bunch of, like, kids who help him out with, like,
you know,
keeping
awesome?
An eye on shit on the streets.
If you know what would be awesome? If those emblems were, like, communicators.
Yes.
Oh god.
I want one of those for my car.
So do I!
I don't have a car and I want one of those for my
I'm
car.
I'm totally buying it!
Maybe you need to get a mock emblem for
Bandai
your scooter.
Premiums.
Yeah.
There are like three different sizes?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Obviously, I'm getting the biggest one.
Yes.
Black Cell will be a rider car.
Okay, so also quickly, Technic. It's actually, I don't like the form too much. Like, it's mostly the head for me that I don't like, but as terms of what it can do, fuck.
He straight up pulled a Philip.
I 100% agree with you on this one. As much as I really don't like how it looks, oh man, the ability. Oh.
So useful!
Just
typing, doing this shit, and he's like, oh, door gun,
He literally has eyes in the back of his head.
He has
a backup camera.
Yep. I just want him to go beep.
Yeah.
But yeah, so while he's like, so Terahigo gets trapped in this machine that Volt made. So Type Technic. Like, goes to town and starts typing on it with one hand to like, turn it off and disassemble it.
Dorgun.
And the monsters come at him from behind, so he's like, Dorgun! Flips it around in his hand, so he shoots backwards, aiming at them perfectly.
I just love how, like, you could totally make that a car commercial. The new Kamen Rider Drive Technic. It has capable backdoor cameras with adjusted seating and door windows.
You can have sex in your car and drive to your location at the same time.
Apply now for no taxes down.
Also, I mean, the Roid Mute had the kid stuck in this little fucking machine.
Yeah, I saw
with
that
wires
was like,
and shit like that, and he's like,
yeah.
He's pumping this kid full of 1.21 gigawatts.
Yeah,
1.21 gigawatts through a child. This child is a flux capacitor. That thing's a flux. That's a Kamen Rider flux capacitor. Yep. They're trying to build a flux capacitor so they can go back in time and make sure the drive system never got built.
And make sure the global freeze became a successful
thing. Building a flux capacitor. Now all they need is a DeLorean. They're literally going from one Yes,
oh,
they're going from one shitty dealership to the other saying, hey, you guys got a DeLorean?
DeLorean
we'll delay
shift
it an
car.
Episode.
DeLorean shift car, type time. Make it happen.
We need a DeLorean shift car! Oh my god!
No, I'm just hoping, because we've already seen Herbie in the Magical Beetle in like on Tamari's desk, so now we just need to see like a DeLorean.
Yay!
Paul wants a DeLorean.
Paul is currently punching his head rapidly.
So next week's episode seems to be interesting because it's the, you know, typical traditional, main rider meets main villain, gets his ass kicked by the main villain. But apparently we're learning more about Drive's past and, like, how he was developed and more about what Steinbert's like, so...
Yay, backstory.
Yay. And as far as the rumors go, everyone's expecting Chaser to be the one who was Proto-Drive, I hope not. I really hope it was Steinbert that was Proto-Drive.
See, the thing is, the only evidence we have to go on right now is the fact that the reason Machine Chaser can use the shift cars is because he's appropriated Proto-Drive technology, which I understand is a decent amount of evidence.
And he's purple and black. And
yeah.
God, I hope...
Anyone ever consider that maybe that Professor Steinbert just saw Chaser and said, that guy can use cars? I'm gonna build a thing that can use cars?
I don't know. I don't think that would be backwards because the shift cars would have to exist first.
And also,
Virus cores. He saw virus cores.
No, but the thing is, if Machine Chaser is based off Proto-Drive technology, that means Proto-Drive came first.
But is he?
That's what Belt-San said.
Oh, okay.
That when they first saw him use steel Max Flare.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah, so that's gonna be great.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm so looking forward to the episode zero.
Yes.
Yeah, apparently that's out now, so...
Oh, shit. Another thing, we have to wait another month to get subbed.
Yay.
Except...
Oh, yes.
instead of it being, you know, a movie thing, it's just that thing actually got released on a DVD and handed to people.
No, I know. Now we have to wait a month for someone to get around to subbing it.
Could be soon. Never mind.
They're still haven't subbed the Gaim Summer movie. Aesir, Nihon, come on.
Get on that shit.
Yeah.
Also, they released the Drive Luxeed type fruit shift car set, and oh dear, does the Drive Luxeed look beautiful.
Yeah, it's
pretty
cool.
I'm looking forward to owning both of them, so. And also, I bought the Kiwami figure arts today, or Ichi gave it to me as a Christmas present, so it's fantastic.
It's so beautiful. It was my extreme discomfort to pay for Kiwawa. Yes, so, Tokyuger episode 39.
Shit's going down!
And it's Christmas time in Japan, and it only comes once a year. It's Christmas time!
Once a year.
No.
And it only comes once a year.
Am I the only one expecting how the Grinch Shadow Stole Christmas?
Yeah!
You're a mean one. Mr. Zalam.
I gotta say, this guy looked weird.
Oh, the Tombstone Shadow?
Yeah. Oh,
that's what this is. How Schwartz stole
Christmas. That's what's
awesome.
Going on right now. He looked awesome, but he was weird.
You mean the Shake and Bake Monster?
Yep.
Shake.
He actually said shake. It was
and then
awesome.
He baked.
And, like, I like how many tropes we knocked out of the park in one episode.
Yeah.
The episode where the side villain gets his plan going, the episode where Wound Ranger goes evil, the episode where all the old monsters come back, the episode where we see all the old Megazord combinations.
There's so many, but you mentioned this was the halfway point, right?
No, it's not the halfway point, it's episode 39, and series usually end in the late 40s, we're kind of entering the third act here.
So this was like kind of a recap, sorry.
Not necessarily a recap. It was kind of a flashback to here's some important Akira moments while the Tokyugers get super emo over the fact that he's not in contact.
Yes.
Yeah.
Other than that, though, like, there was some actual, like, Akira, I've always liked Akira, and there was some actual good moments with him in this.
Like, yeah. There were a lot of feels, they're, like, fighting this one shadow in, like, the Megazord, and they're like, oh, look, it's the one that made Akira laugh and all happy, and I was like,
you are doing this to yourselves, you stupid fuckers.
And, like, I had a lot of feels in this episode, and I was like, oh, they really care about Akira.
That's what I call misusing your imagination.
No, it's so sweet.
No, they're thinking about another person instead of themselves. That's not misusing your imagination. That's doing the best thing you can for another person.
That's being a friend.
That's friendship.
That's what Christmas is.
Bah, humbug.
Well, I'm just leaving then.
Fuck you, Charles Dickens.
I like how they just decided to use Akira's hat as the star.
Oh my
Christmas
god, that
tree.
Was great.
Just finding his hat, and I was like, oh.
All we were missing was la la la.
I was honestly expecting though when she put the hat on top of the tree, it would just pull a Charlie Brown and would just slump over like.
And all the vines fall off.
And then what happened? Well, in Japan, they say Schwartz's small heart grew three sizes that day, and he became a Tokyuger.
Schwartz comes out.
No,
it didn't.
No, it didn't.
No. Zed becomes a Tokyuger.
Oh, yes, next episode.
That trailer.
Zed
for next episode.
I don't know how that happens, but
he
apparently
he stole
does.
It from Akira.
Yeah.
And he's sitting on the frigging...
You know what's funny, though?
He's sitting on the train.
When a couple, like a month or so ago, when there were magazine scans about this whole plot arc, they were saying that, yeah, Schwartz is going to make his move, and we find out what his contract with Akira was. And they were saying, like, part of his agreement with Schwartz was that he would give Zet the Morpher, and I'm like, no, that can't be right, because Schwartz wants to kill Zet. So now I want to know exactly how this goes down.
Well, yeah. I just wish this was the season finale, and Schwartz was turning into a good guy, because then we could say, and then the true meaning of Christmas came through, and the Schwartz found the strength of 10 Schwartzes. Plus two.
A plus two comes from the trades.
Okay.
10 Schwartzes plus 2. That's the final boss. 10 Schwartzes plus two.
Is that a joke I'm not getting?
It's a Grinch.
Oh, okay.
It's the line following the three... Oh, fuck you.
Whatever.
We're not even explaining this.
So yeah, not much to say other than feels,
there
plot.
There was feels.
Feels, plot, feels, flashbacks, Megazords. Yeah.
Woodland Critter Christmas. Hail Satan!
Good segue.
Yes.
Not actually, though.
It was good. Yeah. Fuck you.
Okay.
And now, the reason we're here.
Dun dun!
A shitty movie from the 90s!
Woo. Yay!
Come, children, and I will tell you a tale.
A tale of the Guyver.
You see, back in 1990, New Line Cinema got a huge hit with the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie.
So wait, which ones were out before they made the Guyver?
What do you mean?
Of the Turtles movies.
The first one.
Just the first one.
That's the first one.
Yeah. So this immediately followed the first Turtles movie.
Immediately.
Okay.
This was what they said. Okay. We had a huge hit with Turtles. No one was expecting that. With the live action bit, at least.
Okay.
Well, hell, no one was expecting Turtles to be a thing anyway.
So we're going to take the cast of Reanimator.
Plus Mark Hamill.
And make a Toku movie.
So for anyone listening who doesn't know what Guyver is, do you want to give a quick summary?
Sure. I know the anime quite well. I'll just give the quick summary.
Please
here.
Please do.
All right. Well, okay, so, teenager with attitude, Sho Fukumachi, is living his life fantastically.
Don't you mean Sean?
Shut up.
No, I
Sean,
don't.
Shut up.
Wow, no,
shut up, both of you.
No, I don't.
They actually Americanized the character?
Yeah.
No.
I'm sorry, Mizuki.
Yeah! But I'll get to that. So, here's the thing. So, teenager with attitude, Sho Fukumachi's got it all. He's got a bestest buddy who goes to high school with, and he totally wants to bang his bestest buddy's little sister. And his bestest buddy is totally
factual.
Down with this idea.
This is factual.
Yes! And so, one day, he's walking home from school with his bestest buddy, and he comes across a giant fruit gusher with a metal piece in the middle of it.
Yeah, really, that's what it is.
He grabs it, and he's all like, what the fuck is this thing? And then he face plants onto it, just like any other anime character in the universe, and turns into a Kamen Rider with titty lasers.
Well, I don't know about you guys, but we gotta get this into a fucking kids movie, okay?
Right!
Make that shit!
I'm sold. Here's a budget.
Right? So the whole series is about Sho and his bestest buddy and his soon-to-be girlfriend, who is, in fact, his bestest buddy's baby sister that he's gonna be fucking. And they fight this evil organization who's bent on, you know, turning people into monsters.
And conquering the world.
And they're also Scientologists.
Of course.
This movie is a Power Rangers-ification of this.
Now, I gotta make one thing clear, though. This actually surprised me when I found out. This was made in 91. This was before Power Rangers was a
thing. Yeah, 2 years before Power Rangers.
So,
yeah.
Gotta give them credit on that one.
who ripped what off here? So, basically, here's the thing. You got a movie in which a dude spends a lot of time at a place where he's learning martial arts with a bunch of other teenagers with attitude.
Martial arts.
Yes. And
there were air quotes there just now.
With my knees, there were air quotes. And so he's spending all this time learning what looks like Aikido, and he's using
What it says on the banner above the store.
Wang's Aikido.
Yes, it's Aikido because the place is called Wang's Aikido.
I couldn't figure out who was Wang, and
sure it was the old Asian.
No one's Wang! It's being taught by a fucking 30-something American woman.
Yeah, she looks like your, like, fourth-grade teacher.
Yeah.
How's it going, Wang? Suck my Wang.
Elaine Bennett.
You did look like Elaine.
But, so, he's learning Aikido, and the whole thing just happens all over again. San's the best friend. He's got a crush on the one Japanese girl in the entire movie based on this Japanese anime. And he's got to fight the evil organization Kronos, who is, again, turning people into monsters. Especially young black rappers who used to play the main character on that show in which that guy used to say, Dynamite!
Jimmy Walker, everybody.
Jimmy Walker.
God,
good times!
Mark Hamill's in it!
Yeah.
Mark Hamill's in this movie!
So, and he's not the pro tag!
Which is a shame!
I was like the posters would have you believe.
Not even that. Like, it's so clear that they wanted Mark Hamill, but then they realized he's too old. So they got, literally, the main guy in this movie, Sean, looks like Mark Hamill's son.
Yeah.
Like, wow.
He looks like Luke Skywalker.
It's funny because there was one scene where, Sean goes to her place.
Whoa, like, Fluke Skywalker.
There was one scene where Sean goes to Mizuki's place to, talk to her because she's sad about her dad. And before he got there, Max, the cop, played by Mark Hamill, was already there. So he tries to hide behind the door when Sean comes up.
One, two, three. perfect place for a mirror!
Yeah, so
basically, there's a big-ass mirror on the opposite side of the house, of the apartment, from the door, and Sean can very, very obviously see Mark Hamill standing behind the door trying to stay out of sight.
Which always bothered me, because the last time he saw Mark Hamill, he was talking to Miski, and the last thing he said to her made her cry really, really fervently. So obviously she took him back to his place to bone him.
Yeah. That's what he assumes.
Well, obviously!
You know, dead-dad sex. That's the best kind.
And yeah, Sean's just like, oh, I see you have company. I understand. I was just checking to see if you're alright. Bye. So then you just see him going off his on his scooter and like...
No, before that. The reason I brought that up is because it's funny that we were all thinking that Sean looks like a younger version of Mark Hamill, because during that scene I was like, oh, I see a busy banging future self. I guess I'll leave you alone.
No, so then he goes off his scooter and I'm just like seeing him. I can just see him and like he's just thinking to himself. He's like, whore.
Is this a good time to talk about the transitions?
No. Actually, we need to talk about actually first the plot a little. So
there
basically,
was plot at that point.
Well, you apparently weren't paying as much attention as me. Okay, so basically, you got this guy who works for Kronos called Dr. Saragawa.
What's a plot?
He gets chased down by the Zoanoids, which are these big people that can turn into monsters. Mm-hmm. He gets killed by them. And he switches out the Gyver unit with... You'll see later. And they take that back. So basically, that's what gets our plot going. The Gyver has been hidden. Sean finds it. The Kronos Squad, whatever they're called...
Kronos Sentai!
Yes, is after him now. Okay, we have a movie.
Or as I interpreted that scene, the creature from the Black Lagoon fighting Bracadillos.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yes. You ever think that those five guys... There's five of them, Evan.
Yep.
I know.
There's five of them. Are you trying to tell me that's the team five?
No.
Oh, God.
Not at all.
Kaijin Sentai Zoanoja.
Zoanoja.
No.
Terrible.
Get out.
So after Dr. Saragawa hides the Gyver unit, and it's in the little...
Lunchbox.
A little lunchbox sort of thing. They think they've got the Gyver unit, and the main guy, Lisker, takes it back to the greatest rule ever played by anyone ever.
Oh,
the Zoalord.
Played by David Gale, who was... we'll talk about this later, but was also in Reanimator.
The disembodied head in Reanimator. Yeah. The head in the pan in... the rape head.
The rape head in Reanimator.
Which is appropriate because of all the things he does in this movie.
The rape head in Reanimator. In that one, he was a head that raped people. In this one, he rapes people's heads. So he's all like, you've got the Gyver? Fantastic!
Like, this guy is just taking a chainsaw to that scenery.
He is the living embodiment of a ham and Swiss sandwich in this movie.
Speaking of sandwich, it's funny that we were talking about this scene because as he was opening the briefcase, we all knew that the Gyver was not in there. So as he's opening the case, my comment was, and it's a sandwich. And lo and behold, it was a fucking toaster.
Yeah, toast. And just that look.
Toast, but no cigar.
Toast, but no sandwich.
That face on him when he just saw that toaster. It's like, what is this?
Who put a dick in this box?
Who put a dick in this box? Is this some kind of masochistic joke?
And then seconds later thought to himself, I actually needed one of these.
Kept the toaster!
He literally kept the toaster, and when it burned the toast, he hit it.
In a later scene, you see him turn back to his little snack, and he's got the toaster, and then burnt toast pops up, and he expresses his anger by slamming the toast back down into it.
For the last time, toaster!
Why does everyone around me fail?
It's like he's saying, do it again!
Untoast!
Untoast that toast!
Do it over!
Did you see what... It wasn't just... He didn't just hit the toaster. He popped the toast back in.
That's what I said!
Yes! Do it again!
Do it over!
Okay, so wasn't there monsters in this movie about Mark Hamill and toast?
No. Yes. You are sorely mistaken.
This movie was about
Mark Hamill and toast.
And these monsters
are terrible.
One of them literally looks like a piece of shit with legs.
I want to say something. I want to get into something for a bit, actually, though. I personally found that the monsters, there was some craft in this movie with the monsters. They looked, they looked cool.
Yeah, some of them did.
Some of them looked like Zoanoids. They were based on actual I saw a Rama Chief and a Gregol and
two
a bunch of... Yeah.
Two of them were really based off the originals. The rest of them were all just... Wait, where'd you...
And
that guy.
And one of them looked like a female version of Alf.
That would be one of the two.
I want to say who played them, because actually, like some of these actors, I actually want to give them some credit. The main one was played by Michael Berryman. You might remember him from The Hills Have Eyes and The Barbarians. He's a really sweet guy. He's really cool. One was played by... the girl one was played by... Her name is Spice Williams Cosby. Crosby. She's a stunt woman who, after looking at her credits, the one that stuck out the most, she apparently did the stunts for the movie Liar Liar.
And I'm like, what stunts?
What?
Was the stunt where Miranda had sex with him?
The other one that you kept saying, like, where do I know this guy's voice? The fat one was played by Peter Spellos, who was Waymon in Digimon.
Yeah, I was like, where have I heard
you mean Ollie Ollie Oksanovich?
Yeah, that's Waymon.
Ollie Ollie Oksanovich!
And he was also Sagat in the Street Fighter 2 movie.
That makes so much more sense.
Yeah.
And finally, ladies and gentlemen, Jimmy Walker, everybody, give him a round of applause!
Jimmy Walker, the rapping bat Zoanoid.
Jimmy Walker, the proto Jar Jar Binks.
Yeah. Yes.
You know what the saddest thing about his design was? His monster design? Even his monster form had huge lips.
And big
It was blackface monster bat.
And straight up, he did actually have those things that Jar Jar has, like the ear flaps or whatever.
Yeah, he's proto Jar Jar.
And he like darted his head around a lot.
And he's got nothing of value to say. Ever!
And he fucked everything up.
Yeah, I bet George Lucas just watched Guyver and he was like, huh,
I can put something like that.
It'll be for the kids.
I can make Star Wars out of this.
This is for the kids. I can make it for the kids. I can make the MC. Kids love MC Stryker. I'm gonna make MC Stryker for Star Wars.
That was the character's name, literally.
Proto Binks.
Really?
Proto Binks.
You heard it here, folks.
Proto Jar.
If I may regale you all with his greatest line of all time.
You memorized it?
Of course I did.
Yes.
Of course he did!
Oh,
do
it.
Oh, God. Well, I've been looking high and I've been looking low for the jiving, giving thing to show. And now this punk's become a hunk when all along he had the song. Well, I'ma tell you just one thing. I'ma rap it with the jive in it. I'ma make you crawl. I'ma make you sing. Cause I want that jiving, giving thing. Boy!
Bravo, sir!
Encore!
And, of course, during that scene, me and Sal just kind of sat there because we'd seen the movie before. Just like, we know it's coming, and let's look at Itchy's response.
That one!
It was the same with Doug Walker's, where he's just like,
I was like, no.
Itchy's sitting there like,
no.
Yeah, can I just say one thing? Nostalgia Critic has reviewed this movie, and I've wanted to review for a while.
He reviewed it with Bennett the Sage.
Yes, I
which
know.
Which makes all of the sense.
But at the same time, I'm still going to one day walk up to Doug Walker and just shake him and be like, you reviewed Guyver, you son of a bitch! Is there nothing that's safe from you?
No.
Is nothing from my childhood safe?
Guyver too.
Yes.
Calm down, Paul.
We need to,
take your meds.
We need to also talk about, going back to, like, the biggest problem with the movie, like, other than, you know, the writing.
And the acting.
And
the special effects.
No, the special effects are pretty good.
And the entire concept.
Those practical effects,
God. The worst, we'll get into more of those, because I want to actually go into that more. But the worst thing about the movie was the clash of tone. This movie This movie was clearly edited down from a harder R, and if you've seen... Or a hard PG-13, whatever. If you've seen the Guyver 2, it's very violent.
It's
extremely gory. Yeah. This one, there's every time the Guyver like uses his like elbow blades, there's like an awkward cut away, and you just see Jimmy Walker's face for no reason. It cuts back, and there's a big gash in someone.
Yeah. What I noticed about this movie is that there are several isolated instances where there's a lot of gore.
Yeah. And, like, it comes down to, like I said, this was made by the same, like, not the same crew, sorry, the same studio
that made the Ninja Turtles movie. And I guess because, you know, the Ninja Turtles got, like, a bit of flack from parents. Oh, it was too violent. So, and they wanted to make it more kid-friendly to appeal to a wider audience. So no one's happy. Yay.
Yeah.
Politics.
Absolutely Yay. No one is satisfied with this movie. It's like, it's too violent. Well, guess what? We're going to make it even more violent.
I want to say something, though, too. The guy who... there was two directors on this movie, actually. One of the guy's names was Screamin' Mad George. He hasn't done anything since. But the other guy was a guy, Steve Wang, who actually did something cool. He did do the sequel, Guyver Dark Hero.
Does the studio belong... the Aikido studio belong to him, then?
I don't...
Maybe! Maybe he's Wang!
But check this out. He directed one episode of Power Rangers Lost Galaxy.
Oh, shit.
But here's the cool thing. He was one of the big leads behind Kamen Rider Dragon Knight.
Props to him for that.
Yeah.
Like that was like, and we
thank you for improving quite possibly the worst Rider series.
So yeah, there that is.
Thank you for making Mutronics and then making a far better sequel for Guyver.
I don't know. And Forza sucked.
That's why I said one of.
Man.
So, with
the worst at the point when he made it.
Yeah.
So again, though, with the special effects, I gotta say, I really liked the Guyver suit.
Yeah,
it was really cool.
I've always said if there was ever like a 2-scale, perfectly created cosplay that I could ever own, it would be that suit.
Yeah. I was the one who asked you that question.
Decidedly, that suit is gorgeous.
It's
fucking beautiful.
Now, the suit design is one thing. It comes back to the whole effects thing. It was you I approached about that.
Yeah.
When he used the...
the Mega Smasher.
The Mega Smasher.
Which is basically a Unibeam Blast.
Yeah.
Which makes
me wonder why... two of them.
Which I came to understand going into it, going, I'm of a vague knowledge of Guyver. And I went, that was a goddamn rotary fan.
You know what?
He opened up his chest and it blew him away. And I was like,
I don't know why it's called the Mega Smasher.
That's not how that works.
It's a fucking chest beam and they call it the Smasher.
It's more like
something physical.
And
the
smashes
anime,
and in the anime,
the Mega Smasher is just this giant fucking Kamehameha beam that blasts out of his chest.
It's good that they use rotary fans because, like, when you actually open it up and take a look at the nodes that the Mega Smasher comes out of, they actually do have a spinning component on the inside.
Yeah. Not even
They're very much like rider pinwheel, like, fans that put into the belt.
Not even that, though. Like, think about, like, the time that this was made, once again, 91.
Yes.
Like, what else could that have on? The only other alternative would have been incredibly bad-looking CGI, terrible animation, or they tried to do a practical effect. It didn't work completely, but I think it's the best we could have had at the time.
It'll blow you away!
Yeah, fans and floodlights. It's alright. Like, it's 91.
You mentioned to me once that you thought this movie did something that nothing ever did well, which was the transformation sequence?
Oh, you mean... well, okay, I didn't say that nothing ever did it well. I'm just saying that I'm gonna say this right now. I'm a huge Guyver fanboy. Mm-hmm. It was my very, very first anime that I ever bought myself. And fun story, when I was a kid and I went to Blockbuster for the first time, I found a copy of Guyver 2, Dark Hero, and I asked my dad to rent it for me. My dad pretended to know what Guyver was and said, no, this isn't for you. And so I spent a lot of my childhood counting down the days to the time when I was old enough to know what Guyver was. And so one day, after anime club in high school, I went to an HMV and I said, hey, the Guyver, I remember what that is. And so I bought it and I fell in love with it. And I've always liked the transformation because it's very simple, just a sort of explosion and the Guyver sort of... I like this movie's transformation a lot. I like it a lot more than the show's transformation because it's just... in the show, it's just a flash of light and a bunch of panels just sort of flop on his body.
And shit breaking severely if it's within the general vicinity.
In this one, it's spider tendrils coming out of the back of his neck, each one with a piece of armor on it. The Guyver, you very much see that there's musculatory bands underneath the plate armor, so you actually see... the spider arms wrapping around his body to create the under muscles and the plates and shit flop onto the body. And it just looks, I think it's just the best way that they could possibly have done that.
With the worst acted henching phrase. I am the Guyver.
I am the Guyver.
And then in the sequel, he just says Guyver and it comes out.
Okay. Yeah. Now just, we're not going to get
which,
into
you know, is the legit thing.
We're not going to get into the second movie, but I want to make one note here. Who played the Guyver in the second movie?
Solid Snake.
David Hayter.
AKA Solid Snake.
We're both right.
AKA the guy who taught one of Raven's classes.
Yes.
Hey.
Bastard.
But,
that thing that... That thing that Mike will forever be pissing
me
about.
Hey, yeah. The guy who ran my school was the voice of the Juggernaut on the X-Men cartoon, okay?
That's amazing.
That's pretty neat.
Powers are magical.
I love you, Rick Bennett. You were awesome. like we talked with the, like, you know, the good thing of the special effects. We really can't stress how just badly acted this movie is.
No.
Oh my
terrible.
God.
Terrible.
Come and get me!
Okay. The president dude, I loved everything he said and how he said everything. Everyone else was bad.
Oh, everyone, like, the problem with it was, like, yeah, even, like, the president himself was so enjoyably camp.
Yeah.
That he's worth it. The problem is that most other performances in this just fall on the side of dull.
Yeah, no, yeah. But see, Mark Hamill, he tried to play the serious cop thing way too seriously.
Yeah.
It's just and like, that's why he was boring.
Oh, chasing Ninja Turtles, eh, Max? Do you think? I'll figure this out. Don't worry.
Chasing Ninja Turtles.
Plus, that mustache did not do Mark Hamill justice.
What about the fact that he had literally a butt flap on his shirt?
There were, like, buttons in the middle of his shirt and nowhere else.
Why?
Who are the fucking designers on this?
You know what's sad, though? When I cared less about the main character's romance than the two monsters. I swear to God, there's a scene in the car where the main Zoonoid and his girlfriend are, like, just sitting together. Hey, what do you think after this we go to Brazil together, honey? And I'm just like, I want these two to go to Brazil.
I know. I kind of always wanted those two to go to Brazil, but they died.
And then when she died, the girl died first. I was like, oh, they're not going to go to Brazil now.
No, Brazil for you. I'm so sorry, Ramachi.
They never made it to Rio.
He's going to Ramachi her.
Oh.
Going to Ramachi her. No. But
I loved later when they go into the main lab after the Guyver has died. Air quotes with knees.
Yes.
And we get our little reanimator reunion with fucking Jeffrey Combs.
Yes, Jeffrey Combs.
Combs, who played Dr. West in Reanimator. In this, he plays
Dr. East.
Nice.
And then he turns into a goat thing.
With the glasses still on him in the monster form.
And Jeffrey Combs in Reanimator is like the mortal nemesis of the actor who plays the Zolord in this. And this one, he's his toady. And I'm just like, that's hilarious.
David Gale.
Yes. David what?
David Gale.
Now, David Gale, thank you.
I have a question because it really bothered me.
Okay.
The Zolords and the Zoonoids?
Yeah.
Are they public knowledge as... No, they're not things that
not
people come
until,
to understand.
Not until the time skip.
Not until the time skip in the anime in which Zoonoids become mainstream.
Because that seemed to be the premise of the movie as per the scrolling text at the beginning.
Oh, yeah, because this is what, we have to remind you that Mark Hamill's in this. So Star Wars, scrolling text.
Yeah. No, but the thing is,
I mean.
The Zoonoids were not public knowledge because the other cops were like, stop chasing monsters.
What I mean. The scrolling text had me believe otherwise,
mm-hmm.
and that's why it just kind of was, I was like, so.
It was sort of crash course you and their existence.
In the original, the Zoonoids were very much a secret thing until a fair amount later on in. Kronos was a corporation that was just creating Zoonoids, and they had a little bit of brainwashing here and there, too, as far as I understand it.
So,
but they were, the whole idea was they gathered together people who were, you know, wanted to be part of their cause, gave them the ability to transform into Zoonoids, and then placed them into high power positions all over the world. And then when the time skip happened, basically all of them revealed themselves all at once, and Zoonoids in the White House and every other House of Parliament all over the world.
And people just became cool with Zoonoids.
And so they took over, Kronos took over the world, successfully.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So basically, and then started making Zoonoids like a thing, a standard...
Zoonoid rock group.
A standard, they made it such a popular thing that it was here's this... You can do this, take this operation for free and turn yourself into a Zoonoid. It's a natural point of human evolution.
Oh my god, they're the Orphanox!
Oh god.
There's a character in the anime who actually, like, a guy starts hitting on her and she looks at him and is like, oh, I bet you're a Greggle.
I'm glad you brought that up!
You know who should have directed this movie and with a bigger budget and a harder edge? Paul Verhoeven, using that angle.
Yeah!
Using that angle of, like, you know, you become like this. Da, da, da.
By the way, I'd like to apologize to anyone who just got spoiled on the plot of Guyver and hasn't seen it yet.
Yeah.
It's been 20 fucking years.
My question that comes out of that is, you can spin the result, heads or tails, when they come in for, what is the girl's name?
Mitsuki.
When they come in looking for her, and the woman who is someone that they know, as well as the woman who teaches the martial arts at the,
At Wang's.
I went, well, so much for that! Where was your martial arts training when you needed it, lady?
You think Aikido's gonna do shit against Sonoids?
Against a Greggo.
Against a Greggo.
But that's what I
You're
mean.
You're pretty
I,
fucked.
I feel like you can spin that heads or tails had you not gotten the full picture, because for all we know, they didn't need to transform and they overpowered this poor lady.
I counteract that point within the second movie where the FBI agent was able to improvise fighting a Zoonoid using fire extinguisher and other shit at his disposal.
But that's for another episode.
Let's not talk about the second
Before
movie.
I forget, though, Raven, you had a weird little encounter with the Mizuki name or something?
God,
yeah. Tell us that one.
Okay. As Paul is very much aware, that character's name in the Japanese is Mizuki.
Yeah, I figured.
And so, my first time through that movie, the entire time, I had this little tick every time I heard her name get said.
Understandably.
Every time, Mizuki. 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 And I'm just sitting there like, stop mispronouncing it, all you people.
There is a soft U in there!
Credits roll. Mizuki.
Spelled.
In text.
Spelled.
M-I-Z-K-I.
Oh my god.
And I sat there for a minute like...
Someone translated that wrong.
I'm just sitting there like,
We always...
I can't blame the actors anymore. I blame the writer.
We always...
No, you blame the translator.
We complain about...
I don't think there was a translator involved.
Probably not.
We complain about writers, like, Romanizing Japanese names.
They whitewash.
Whitewashing.
Mizuki!
Sean!
See, that one coming from a show I understand. That one didn't hurt anywhere near as much as... What the fuck is a Mizuki?
You know, sorry.
Now I have to name the episode that.
It's only worse that she's Japanese.
I know, right?
Worst thing, though, is that, this is just something from something else completely. It's just a fact that while whitewashing is so fucking stupid, in one of the early Akira live action scripts, Tetsuo was renamed Travis. Travis!
I'm so glad that didn't happen.
Karen!
Oh my god!
Oh, I went with Canada.
Thank you!
Canada! I was gonna say, for doing the American out of...
Canada!
But, yeah. So then we reach the end of this movie, where it's just like the Guyver...
Wait, before we talk about the end, you know what we should bring up?
What?
The fucking lightning cuts.
Oh god, in heaven and Jesus Christ! Every time there is a scene transition, this weird music comes up. This it's like Speed Racer and a lightning bolt.
It's a weird attempt at Batman.
Yeah,
like the old Adam West series.
It sounds like a crack opening from Guy's.
And then it's not even then the screen does a wipe where a lightning bolt comes down.
It's not even a lightning bolt. It's just a diagonal line.
I've never heard of lightning wipe before.
How do you wipe with lightning?
Oh, is this just... are we going to have, wipes themed after Mario Kart cups? We got the star wipe, we got the lightning wipe, we're going to have the flower wipe and the mushroom wipe next?
The mirror wipe.
Mirror wipe.
Shell wipe.
There you go.
Shell wipe.
Yeah.
Red shell zooms across the screen. Crab That's wipe. Your transition.
So, at the end, near the end, after the big fight scene... Well, the second biggest fight scene, sorry. Where Guyver has been killed... You know, they ripped out his one weak point.
My one weakness. My literal one weakness, which isn't really a weakness.
It was literally...
It is if they break the fucking thing.
Which is impossible to do.
On Guyver's head, there's a big, basically, orb.
Guyver 2.
Right. Guyver 2.
Guyver 2 was a thing.
But,
stop talking about the sequel!
They kidnap...
No.
They kidnap
not
Matt.
Not sequel. Hey, remember...
Guyver 02.
Hey, remember the bald...
So it's Digimon.
Remember the bald guy?
Yeah.
Oh,
he's
no.
a character.
Lisker.
His name is Lisker.
That's actually the name of a character in... he's not a Zoonoid.
No. Okay. He was a member of Kronos USA who came to Kronos Japan in order to, smack the fucking guy who runs Kronos Japan.
And activated Guyver 2.
Yes. Oh, my God.
They had an extra...
Guyver Nego.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Okay.
So...
And in this one, he was a Greggle.
He's nice.
And I go, yep, okay, fuck it, whatever.
Greggle's my favorite Pokemon.
He evolves into Graveler. so they bring Mizuki, whatever the fuck her name is, Max to Kronos,
and we see Mixky, she's unconscious, and there's a hand running over, and who the fuck do you think it is?
Oh my god. Dr. Belkin!
Hey!
Maximum creep factor!
You know, the guy who every time I see him on screen, like, every time, ever since Lisker called him Belkis, I'm just sitting there like, where's the fucking crystal on your forehead?
There it is.
Ghost used his powers. Oh, there it is.
Yep.
And then...
And then popping out of his forehead.
Oh, that was gross.
I loved it.
Like, oh, there it is.
I loved it, though, when, like, he says... She's like, where's Max? And he goes, well, he's over here. And you just see Mark Hamill, Luke Skywalker, in a big tube. Just like, oh, I'm having flashbacks to something. A-Lane?
Yeah.
But, so then there's some unnecessary slapstick with the Guyver unit thing, and it gets eaten by a monster, right? A Zona.
The goat dude.
The goat one, the Jeffrey Combs one.
Yeah.
Now, then something happens. I noticed that this movie liked to rip things off. One of them was when, you know, the Guyver is, like, walking like RoboCop that goes, your move.
Yep.
But the other one is, like, so... Yeah. The Guyver is basically growing inside of the thing, and one of his blade arms comes out, looks like a shark fin.
At first, I was thinking Aliens joke.
Then you just hear
the Jaws music as the blade is traveling down the dude's body, cutting him open, looking like a shark fin.
Yep, that was a thing.
While the music was playing.
And then the shit Zoanoid came.
Like I said, there was one that actually looked like a piece of shit with legs.
And there was one that looked like a miniature T-Rex who looked like the cuddliest thing I've ever seen in my life.
And he went down awesomely.
It was great. It's just like, because this scene was so full of unnecessary slapstick. Like, there was, like, Scooby-Doo things going on.
They were
like,
literally
Benny
running
Hill.
Back and forth through the same scene.
Yeah! God! No! No! I was...
That gets an I Am Legend no from you. No! No! No!
Just fucking... There's an actual fight going on of what can only be referred to in this movie as important. And every now and then, we get back to Mitski and Luke Skywalker running back and forth, being chased by whatever the fuck that thing was every, like, 20 seconds, and I just eventually, after the fifth time, just kind of, stop that! Like, I was outraged, and just, like, stop cutting away from what is important so we can see what our two side characters aren't doing!
Hey man, we should have had some 1960s pop music so we could have a proper Scooby-Doo.
Yeah! Just like that. Every few seconds, cut to the actual music video.
It was filler in a movie that didn't need filler!
It's like so unnecessary. You know what? That can sum this movie up. Unnecessary.
Yeah.
Actually, my favorite unnecessary thing was when fucking Balkis just every like 3 seconds is just touching
like
Mitski,
stroking her face.
Like, oh my, how are you today?
No, like you were saying, the creepiest thing ever in this movie is when she's like waking up in their headquarters and he's literally running his fingers up and down her body on her lips, and then runs it along his lips.
It's the most uncomfortable. It must have been the most uncomfortable day of that actress's life,
and the best of his.
Yes, because he's so used to that. We need you to be rapey and awkward.
You know what?
That's my middle name.
That's what I'm typecast for.
Did you see what I did in Reanimator?
Have you seen that movie?
I was
a head in a pan, and I got more action than you ever will in your life.
Should we tell them what happened in Reanimator?
You mean the fact that...
Literally, in the movie Reanimator, Buddy who plays Balkis... That's his name, right? Balkis?
Yeah,
David
Balkis.
Hale.
Balkis. No, I mean
Dr.
the movie.
Balkis.
Dr. Balkis. He's a disembodied head, and a guy literally, like, lowers his head into a woman's crotch.
Oh!
Yes. Just puts his head in between her thighs and just goes, there you go, boss.
Oh.
Go nuts.
Have dinner.
And then this movie happened.
Oh!
Me and Paul do things.
Yes.
Gross.
Wow.
This movie
was random.
Can we get to the part where Mark Hamill turns into a grotesque thingy?
Yes, we can.
Yes, he turns into a giant Yurk brain slug.
Yeah. What though? The creepiest fucking thing was that
face.
His actual face, like you just saw his eyes just looking like, help me.
Hi, I'm the face of Mark Hamill.
Yeah.
A giant monster.
Just a grasshopper?
I thought it was a grasshopper.
It was like a cockroach. But I call it the human centipede.
They were turning him into Kamen Rider, and they broke him out halfway through, and
it's,
so he died.
No, it's like I said, it's funny that you mentioned it before. Mark Hamill turns into a Kamen Rider. Unfortunately, it's the Phi system, and he is a human, and the system rejects him.
Exactly.
And he hangs.
Now I understand, because before yeah. I watched the movie, you were like, this is a movie where Mark Hamill gets the Phi's gear. Okay!
Before he died, it looked like the guy was about to, like, snap his neck or something.
Yeah, like
end his suffering killing. So he was about to, and then he just dies, and he's like...
And he goes back to his creepy touching is why you would assume. And he's like, oh, look at you. Oh, you're so beautiful.
And then the guy turns around, and he's like, I'll fucking kill you.
Actually, the best part of that was, though, when during that transformation, Mitsuki's backing up, and just in the shadows is Valkus.
Oh, yes, I'm still here.
Resumes creepy touching.
Come and get me.
Although I want to, okay, so yeah, disgusting Mark Hamill cockroach. That puppet was fucking amazing though.
Yeah,
like,
the effects was great.
Like it moved so weird.
Except of course for those couple moments where the arms were sweeping at the guy and you could see the sticks.
Yeah.
The
okay,
that was a little.
Then we get to our climax where you know
is that what that's called?
We learn the true power of the Zone Lord.
That's when you got to
the boss fight.
That's okay, when we got to Balcus's climax.
Yes. Where, you know, Giggity. He takes out a thing, come and get me! And, you know, Guyver just Kamen Rider kicks him through a door.
Right, the term is Rider kick.
Well, fuck you. On this show, I'm not talking about Kamen Rider. You nuts. But
I'm a real tokusatsu.
Don't get technical!
And then a genuinely cool shot happens, where just in the dark you see these huge red eyes and you hear his voice. And out comes, I swear to God.
No, before he actually comes out, you see the eyes start separating.
Yeah,
transforming. I'm like, oh my God.
Like I said, there is some honest to God craft in this movie.
Yeah.
There is. And then out comes what I have to say, one of the coolest practical effects I've seen out of the 90s.
Yeah.
Like he basically turns into a bug dragon.
Yeah.
It's fucking Ifrit.
Which is funny.
Which is his form in the manga.
Sort of, kind of.
Continue.
He doesn't have one!
No, didn't you say he turned into a giant dragon by the end of it? I'm sure you mentioned that.
No, that was a different guy.
Do semantics on the manga later.
That was a different guy.
Right, no, that's the Indian dude.
Yeah, that guy.
That's the Indian dude.
No, okay. But the funny part is, number one, Balcus wasn't the initial villain in the series.
Guo.
So I'm sitting there like, where's Guo? Oh, he's the villain in the second movie? Okay.
No, he's not.
Kind of, sort of.
No, he's not.
No more second movie talk!
Anyways.
So the final boss fight happens.
Yeah.
And it's shot like a boss fight. Like,
yeah.
Like, you know, first you have to dodge the arms. Then you have to take a stab at his eye, which happens. Now get up above him and get on the back of
his
head.
Get up on the Hydra's back!
And then what does he do? He pulls out his buddy is going to now take out the Guyver unit again with his tongue hand.
Creepy little grabby tongue.
And then the Guyver's self-defense systems go, and what happens, boys?
Mega Smasher!
Yep.
Unibeam!
Yes.
Push off!
Mega Titty
Lasers! Titty Lasers! Titty Lasers!
Dominant Typhoon!
Yes! Yes.
Titty Laser!
So he opens up his chest, there's a couple of fans inside, and there's a floodlight behind him, and he blasts the shit out of the giant dragon.
It was a spectacular explosion.
Yeah, it was a spectacular
explosion. I was upset that, I don't know like how many of those they made, but if they destroyed that prop of the dragon, that's a shame. I'd fucking hang that shit in my living room.
Just yes.
Dangling from the ceiling on a rotary ceiling fan.
Yeah, just, are you kidding? If I had kids, I'd put that in their little, you know,
the mobile?
That yeah, I'd put that shit there.
And just
that'll get him to sleep.
And just constantly have his voice, you have not learned the true power of the Zone Lord. Oh. Yes.
So, the movie is saved.
The movie is far from saving.
The day is saved. You know, no one outside of this building knew anything, which isn't a bad thing. Our main couples share a kiss or a hug or something. He's naked, so we can assume they fucked amongst the wreckage and the corpses. And then the credits roll. Oh, wait a minute!
Oh, no.
This is where the movie broke, Ichi.
Oh.
So, Mark Hamill's partner, I can't remember his name, the one who said, you just chasing Ninja Turtles.
The other black dude.
Okay, someone was suspiciously missing from this fight the entire time. That being the Jimmy Walker monster. So we cut to the partner and Jimmy Walker monster, who is smoking a cigarette. Now, like I said before, you know, Jimmy Walker was, you know, he was famous in the 80s or 70s or whatever. He was on that show, Good Times, mm-hmm. right? And so they do a setup for something that never happens, as far as I know, right?
Oh,
It doesn't, in the sequel, this is never brought up.
This was...
we're led to believe that this partner was behind everything, because he says...
I always thought he was Mark Hamill's boss.
I don't... Whatever he was, though.
It was like, he was his higher up in the police department,
not his partner, his, like, higher up. Yeah. But the point is, we're kind of led to believe he was, like, involved in this whole thing somehow, because he says to Jimmy Walker, "I've got another job for you." Jimmy Walker, in monster form, mind you, comes up to him, goes right in his ear, and says, pulls out a cigarette and says, "Dynamite, Chris!"
Evan Alkenfeld.
I don't get it.
Is that Alkenfeld?
Blackenfeld.
Black
guy secretly Alkenfeld.
No, not a thing.
The way you described Alkenfeld to me, No.
Alkenfeld has dignity and stayed the fuck out of this movie and remained in sleep.
I don't know what's going on.
But Alkenfeld is the original Zoolord.
Okay. Yes. So badass as fuck.
Because, you know, Jimmy Walker was at one point famous. We had to put that in, and they said, "Where can we put it?" Literally the last thing the audience sees. Let's give them that middle finger.
Yeah. Dynamite. I got some middle fingers for this movie.
I got two.
All I know is I saw that line hurt being said, and Ichi was just shaky, all in his
chair. I literally threw my hands up and spun around in my chair, squealing like a maniac.
Squealing like hentai con.
So, yeah. Guys.
Oh, I can do that.
Nope.
Guys, please don't. I think.
Don't.
No one got to hear it, though.
So here's my consensus. This movie, shit. Really, really shit.
Shit like the monster that was made of shit.
Oh my god, so shit. This was fun.
It is oh my god, this is...
It is an ungodly fun, campy movie.
Oh god, yes. I'm actually surprised this isn't more well-known in circles of, like, Birdemic or The Room, where...
Yeah.
This isn't... Like I said, this movie's obviously better made because it had a major studio behind it, and it... You know, New Line Cinema, they went on to make Lord of the Rings, for God's sake.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what's funny? The version that I just watched was the director's cut.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, and like I said, there is some honest-to-God craft in this movie. The suits are amazing. Not amazing, but they're cool, especially for 91. The special effects are great.
I haven't seen anything that compares to the Guyver unit in terms of coolness, in terms of, like, a full body suit in a movie since I watched this. The Guyver is my favorite full-body, one-piece movie costume.
What was the name of the special we watched last week? What was it called?
Oh, Sharivan?
Yes. My biggest complaint with the suits in that show were they were too goddamn shiny. I get that's the point, but I don't like shiny suits. I love the Guyver suit because it looked organic. It looked like something that grew.
It's funny because when we first saw it and it was like using its slash attacks and shit, I'm like, hey, look, it's proto-gills.
Yeah.
It's compared most often to the substance that comprises the exoskeleton of insects.
Yeah, no, yeah, that's a good
but
way
it's harder it. Than steel.
No, yeah.
Yeah.
It's like a symbiote from Venom. It's like the Venom symbiote.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
so it's halfway between Ichigo and Venom.
There you go.
Yeah.
So I would like say that like, you know, if you want to check out this movie on curiosity, check it out. It's a fun time. It's a lot of laughs. You get some cool shit out of it. The movie is worth it for David Gale as Balkis alone.
Oh, absolutely. Oh,
yeah. And you know what? This is a movie though you watch with your friends and make fun of till like.
Oh yeah, it's a great riff track thing.
Oh, this is great for riff tracks.
I had no such pleasure.
You're the only one. You're the only one who didn't get something out of this.
I got a headache.
Good enough.
I got nausea.
I like the second movie so much more.
Well, yeah. Guys, yeah, the reason why to watch this movie is so that you can watch the vastly superior sequel.
Which we will get to.
Yes.
Someday.
Quite soon.
We have a schedule ahead of certain topics that we planned for the next couple weeks. Next week's being our Cast Ranger Christmas episode, on which we're going to discuss the not one, but two Christmas episodes of Power Ranger Samurai.
Because they had multiple seasons.
La 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 la, fuck.
Fuck Jaden and fuck Antonio.
Jaden! Mia!
Antonio!
This is a fucking hell.
Yeah.
No.
In other super neat news, I guess, because we're wrapping things up, I just finished pre-ordering the Baron Zangetsu movie.
Gaiden. Oh, you did pre-order it?
On Blu-ray.
Yeah, nice. Baron Gaiden.
Yeah, that one. And that's pretty recent news that we just found out about Lockseed Taboo.
Yep. Which so is what I like to assume is Baron's golden
fruit. I believe that's been pretty confirmed.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Kaido's forbidden fruit.
Good. That's what I wanted.
It's basic, looking at the Lockseed, it's basically a color swap of golden.
Hope it's different, though.
Yeah, it's pretty much it's the red with the gold trim.
Yeah.
All I know is, God fucking damn you, Bandai, I have another Lockseed to add to my collection.
And I just thought about it. I was like, okay, realistically, on the table, I paid $40 for it. Okay. For a Blu-ray and a DX Lockseed.
That's pretty good.
Sign me up.
Plus, once you get it, we can watch the Raw of the movie.
Exactly.
I actually, from what I was reading, I saw one article listed as the V Cinemas, so I think they may be two separate movies like they did with Excel and Eternal.
Oh, okay.
I kind of hope they do, because that means we get a lot more focus on each
one. Side story and a Zangetsu side story. That's cool.
That's why they each have individual logos on the poster.
Fair enough. Anyway, again, this is practically a love letter to the majority of the cast here.
Yeah.
very well looking forward to this.
Yep. I've been fapping to it for the past 2 weeks.
Well, I'll be fapping to David Gale for the next
four.
Okay. We knew about it less than two weeks ago.
It was one of those things that was so incredibly, like, tailored to me. I was like, this is fake. This is some fake rumor mill shit meant to get me wet and set up for failure. And it's like, no, it's happening. Oh. Go on.
Yeah.
Please continue.
And the best part is, in the poster, it's OG Zangets, not Zangets Shin.
Which makes sense, depending on whether they do it sometime during Gaim, or that it happens after Gaim. Either way, OG seems pretty par for the course.
Yep. Yeah.
While we're on the topic of recent news, a little bit of trivia that I found out while I was traveling the Wikiverse. The voice of Roshuo from Gaim is apparently the same voice of the Kamen Rider Birth Driver. Mm. Joji Nakara is the actor's name.
Nice call out to him.
Yeah.
My favorite character.
Like Cell Burst?
Yes.
My
Serubasso is Roshuo.
My favorite character in the
Roshuo,
show.
Also the voice of Roshuo, also the voice of the majority of major villains in anime in the last 10 years.
Okay.
Just saying.
Okay.
Okay.
Like that priest from Fate Stay Night.
Okay.
That's him.
He's Kire?
Yep.
That's awesome.
Nice.
That's something.
That's dynamite.
No.
Fuck you.
The fuck out, Cell.
Okay.
Get on the lawn so I can yell at you to get off of it.
And that's pretty much the show.
We have learned the true power of the Zola.
Bye, guys.
We learned nothing!
We learned that movie was bad.
It's terrible, but it's fun.
And I think we're all better people now.
Yep.
I think we learned that if you find a fruit gusher the size of your fist.
Do not faceplant it.
Don't faceplant it.
I would totally faceplant it.
They found it in the garbage.
That didn't stop it from being a terrific
idea. To be fair, if I'm remembering right, it was an accident.
It was, but still, don't carry that shit around. It's gonna hurt.
Both an accident and a terrific idea, but don't forget, guys, it does give you cancer in the back of your neck.
One thing we forgot to mention, I love how the fact that the villains are like, we don't know how to activate it. You push the fucking button.
Yeah, I know, right?
You mean the obvious button? Oh, no, don't try
it's
that.
It's glowing! Okay, anyways. Thanks for listening. As always, you can subscribe to us at castranger.podbean.com. You can find us on iTunes. And we will see you next week.
Bye, Crunchman. I love you.
Yeah, sorry.
Hi, I mentioned you.
We were going to have Crunchman on the show, but then Cell Saga had to come. Storm it back in here.
Well, you know what? You know, fuck you guys. I'm just going to go off and fight more aliens in the future or whatever my backstory at this point is.
Also, Fedora Man 59. What's his name?
And Biohybrid.
Biohybrid?
No.
Fedora Gamer?
M2, Fedora Gamer.
Fedora Gamer. Is that what I'm going to... He's going to be Fedora something. I was going to go with Fedora Master.
We got three fans now? Yeah.
And Timothy.
Sweet.
Well,
don't forget Timothy.
Is he a tooth?
I don't know.
Holy shit, you remember
that? I love Timmy the Tooth!
Yes!
Timmy the Tooth!
Oh, we're getting
and Brush Brush!
Alright, bye guys.
Okay, thanks.
Bye.
Bye.
We love you, fans.
I'm the cavity goo.